welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we are continuing our series concerning the life of the Apostle Peter. We've been focusing on the change that happened in his life after Pentecost. Peter truly lived a transformed life. He was different, but he didn't always have it together. Hello? Before Pentecost, Peter had some shortcomings. Every time he tried to do something in his own strength, according to his own power, he would come up short. He would fail. Perhaps the most obvious time, was when he told Jesus, "Hey, if everyone else falls away, and probably they will, you can count on me. I would never do that." And then a few hours later, he's denying that he ever knew him. Who among us doesn't know what it is to fail in our own strength? We know what that is. Charlie Brown knows a little bit about that. In one Peanuts cartoon, he says, "Sometimes I lie awake at night and I ask, where have I gone wrong? And then a voice says to me, this is going to take more than one night." We all know what it is to fall short. Charlie Brown knew about that. Peter knew about that too. But when the day of Pentecost came, after Pentecost, Peter was a changed man. The power of the Holy Spirit of God had come into his heart and his life, and he began to live a transformed life. And two things were immediately apparent. First of all, he was bold in witness. He was bold in sharing his faith. After Pentecost in Acts 2:36, he preached and he said, "Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." The God of the universe had acted. God had done something great at this special time in history. He has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So what made him Lord? Well, the resurrection. The resurrection is the thing that declares he is Lord. What made him Savior? The cross. The cross. In one bold stroke, God established Jesus as both Savior and Lord. And Peter couldn't stop sharing about it. He was bold in witness. Secondly, he was also bold in call to commitment. In call to commitment. As Peter saw it, because of what God had done through the cross and resurrection of Jesus, everyone needed to respond. They couldn't stay neutral. They couldn't ignore what had happened. They needed to respond. And how? He said in Acts 2:38, he declared, "Repent." What did he say? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the what? Forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the what? The gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent. Change. Turn from your no good ways and instead be baptized into Jesus. Be immersed into Him. Be captivated by His ways. Become washed in the water of His Spirit, Peter said. And you'll be forgiven of your sins. And if that isn't gift enough to have your sins made white as snow, you'll also receive the gift, Peter says, of the Holy Spirit. Peter was saying to them, to all of us, you too can have this same power from on high. Peter was bold in witness. He was bold in call to commitment. He was bold in healing as well. In hardly no time after the day of Pentecost, Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer, and when they saw a crippled man there from birth who was begging for money, Peter looked the man in the eye and he said to him in Acts 3:6, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And we know the story. The man walked. The man walked. And there was a great celebration that obviously accompanied this sign of God's power. There is power in the name of Jesus that can bring healing to our lives. As we respond to God's call and walk in His power, He honors our faith. That's what He did for Peter and John. So what were the results of God's work in Peter's life? What were some of the things that indicated that, hey, God is doing this new thing? Well, first of all, he experienced explosive growth. There was explosive growth, first of all, on the inside of Peter. His heart, his life was changed, transformed. He was different, and we see that. And there was explosive growth in the body of Christ, too. 3,000 people were saved in one day, and before long, the church had grown to 5,000, not much later. So I am always intrigued by this story of Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm fascinated by the obvious change that happened in his life. I don't know about you, but I want to see that kind of change again. I want to see it happening, first of all, within me. Starting with me, but I'd love to see it happening in the life of every other disciple of Jesus that I know. Because here's what I believe. That combination that was at work in Peter's life, bold witness, bold call to commitment, and boldness in healing would probably cause explosive growth all over again. Amen? What do you think? Think about that. What would it mean for those three things to be happening in your life? Bold witness, bold call to commitment, and boldness in healing. What would happen if those things were in your life? If they were happening, would that not lead to some exciting discipleship experiences? What about your small group or Sunday school class? What if those three things were happening in your group? Do you think your group would be impacted? What about that combination in our local church or in churches everywhere? Boldness in witness, boldness in call to commitment, boldness in healing. Do you think the Church of Jesus Christ would be moving out in new ministry and power into the world? I don't know about you, but I long for those days. I pray for those days to begin. First of all, it begins in my own heart, but then to spread out from my heart into your hearts and everywhere. And why not? If it can happen in the heart of a guy and in the life of a guy like Peter, why not with people like you and me? And here's the thing. It is happening in so many places in the world today. There is a move of God in Africa. We know that church is moving in China. We know that we see God's work in Russia in new ways. We hear about God's work in various places in the world, and we know that it has happened in America before. We know our history. We know that went on in our country for centuries. And yeah, there is a broad turning away from God in the West and across America that we see happening today. It's been going on for some 50 years, and we see the effects of that. But I long for the day when that will change, when what God is doing in other parts of the world will continue, will come and be reignited happening here. Well, the day of Pentecost was the beginning for all of that in Peter's life. And after that, Peter had ongoing passion. He had boldness for Jesus. Once his life was changed, transformed, turned around, Peter was set on a course of exciting discipleship. Exciting discipleship. He didn't know exactly where things were going to lead him. And he didn't know exactly, you know, what would happen. But Peter was on the way. And he made a decision to walk by the Spirit. He said, I don't know what God is doing, but I'm going to continue to walk in it. I'm going to walk by the Spirit. He made a determination. I'm going to live in communion with God. I'm going to be looking up and living in communion with God. He made a choice. I'm going to fan this flame. Whatever it is that God is doing in my life, I'm going to fan it. I'm going to encourage it. And he made a commitment. I'm going to shine my light however God wants me to shine it out into the rest of the world for Jesus. So here's a question. How about you and me? What's going on in our hearts concerning Jesus? Is there boldness? Is there passion? Is there fire? Is there a flame? The cares of this world can often put a damper on our heart for Jesus. The trials and temptations of life can sometimes try to snuff out our fire for God. That's why it's a mistake not to be connected. That's why none of us should stay away from worship too long. We need one another. We need to help each other fan the flame. Well, after Pentecost, Peter's boldness for Jesus grew. What started at Pentecost could not be contained. He couldn't stop talking, couldn't stop preaching, couldn't stop teaching or healing in Jesus' name. In our text from Acts 4 today, I want to lift up five things that come out of Peter's life, out of his heart, as he continues this exciting adventure of what it must have been meaning for him to follow Jesus. So first of all, we see that he taught and preached about resurrection power in Jesus. It was the resurrection that had turned the tragedy and the shame of the cross, that had turned it upside down on its head, the resurrection. After the cross, the disciples, remember, were afraid, they were distraught, they were hanging their heads, but then the resurrection, then the risen Lord, and now they were excited, they were courageous, and with the power of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, they went out and fearlessly shared the story. And people began to take notice. And who wouldn't? Hey, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And because he has been raised, you have the promise of resurrection as well. That got people's attention. It intrigued many, but it disturbed others, particularly the religious leaders. So in Acts 4:2, we read, they were what? Greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the what? Resurrection of the dead. Brothers and sisters, how little things have changed. When we take our faith seriously, when we stand up and boldly declare the message of Jesus' resurrection to the world, many people are still greatly disturbed. You think about it. If what we say is really true, that Jesus was raised from the dead and God has made him both Lord and Christ, if that's true, then people are really faced with a choice that they have to make, to choose. And they probably, it also means they probably have to change some of their previous behaviors. They have to, the scripture says, repent, which means to turn away from what I've been doing and follow after Jesus, who among us likes change. And so the natural thing, the human thing to do is to resist change. And many do. I don't want to hear about this Jesus. Some people go on the offensive with put downs and sneers and jokes. They make fun of believers. They probe for the cracks, the mistakes, the failures of our lives so that they can say, hey, look at them. They are no different than me. Therefore, I don't need to change. That's what we face if we take our faith seriously in the world today. It's what Peter faced. There will always be cynics who don't want to hear the message for fear they will have to change. Well, secondly, Peter spoke boldly about healing in Jesus' name. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead could bring healing and wholeness to people's lives. That same power that operated in Jesus' earthly ministry was working in the world through his resurrection too. Healing is the here and now testament to God's resurrection power. We look forward to the resurrection. We can also use a little healing here and now. And at times, we see it in Jesus' name. After they seized Peter and John and they questioned them about the healing of the crippled man, Peter couldn't help himself. In Acts 4:10, he declared, let's read it together. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. There is resurrection power in Jesus. In Jesus, there is this healing in his name. We do the Lord a disservice when we back away from this core aspect of our faith. We ought to expect and to see spiritual and physical healing in the body of Christ, and I am grateful that we still do today. And every church has its testimonies, has its stories of how God has worked, and we celebrate them. Now, of course, not everybody is healed. That's one of my frustrations as a pastor. Not everyone that we pray for is healed in the way that we want them to be. That is true. It's one of the mysteries of our faith that we wrestle with. Why isn't everyone that we pray for healed? Sometimes I have to say, God, not all of my questions are completely answered. And I'm going to have to know that you'll have maybe more complete answers for me when I finally get home. But in the meantime, when people are raised up in health and healing as we pray, and that does happen, at times we see it very dramatically. Other times it's maybe a natural thing, the combination of prayer and medicine and doctors. And that encourages us, yes, when we see it, to step out and to continue to pray the prayer of faith for those in need. Peter spoke boldly about healing. Another thing Peter did boldly after Pentecost, he spoke of salvation in Jesus' name. There is resurrection power, healing, and salvation in Jesus' name. Jesus can save you from whatever it is that ails you. And we all need saving from something. None of us is perfect. We sin. We experience guilt and shame. We make mistakes. We say things that we shouldn't say. We do things that we shouldn't do. Hello? Sometimes we need saving from fear or doubts or lack of faith. Sometimes our emotions are damaged or our hearts are hardened or our spirits are broken. In the midst of our struggle, Peter's word in Acts 4:12 rings loudly. When he said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There is spiritual power to heal and to save in Jesus' name. So children need to experience God's love and acceptance. Students need to know God's purpose and direction for their lives. Young adults need to dream God's dreams, and older adults need to see God's visions. We need the vision for life that only God can give. We are saved from our own destructiveness and from the powers of evil and darkness when we place our faith and our trust in Him. Peter was bold to speak about salvation. He was also bold to declare his conviction in Jesus' name. After trying to decide what to do with Peter and John, and after their teaching about Jesus and the healing of the crippled man, the Jewish leaders called them back up in and they demanded them to no longer speak in this name at all. We want you to shut up about this Jesus. Peter and John simply said this in Acts 4:19 and 20. Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what? What we've seen and heard. How can you ask someone to stop speaking about what they have seen and heard? There is no greater witness than eyewitness testimony. The best witness that you or I can have is in sharing with friends or relatives or strangers is this. This is what I have seen and heard. This is how Christ has made a difference in my life. This is what God has done for me. So do you have that kind of story? Do you have that 30-second testimony or one-minute testimony? Hey, you know, I don't know everything, but I do know this. This is what God has done for me. Every one of us should be able to tell the story of God's work in our life. Lastly, Peter expected signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Well, what do you mean, signs and wonders? Well, I mean signs and wonders, special acts of God that pointed to his glory. So the Jewish leaders wanted to hush up the disciples, to stop them from sharing any more about Jesus. The apostles, what did they do? They started praying that God would turn up the heat. They were told, you guys, shut up. And they started praying, God, turn up the heat. So here's what they prayed. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with what? Great boldness. Stretch out your hand to what? Heal and perform miraculous what? Signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They decided, we're going to pray, Lord, turn up the heat. The disciples expected miraculous signs and wonders. They expected to see God things happen. We ought to too. The disciples knew that miracles build up faith. It's the same way today. And I believe that God is still in the miracle working business. If we will look around, we see his miraculous signs and wonders happening. I was thinking about some of the signs and wonders that I have seen in my life. My dad's conversion changed me. My parents' marriage was saved. My call to ministry was a sign and wonder in my life. God bringing a girl named Kathy into my life who became my wife. God opening the door for us to go to seminary and graduate debt-free. That was a sign and wonder. Having three healthy daughters. Kathy's life being spared after a ruptured uterus during Sarah's delivery. And but for a very attentive nurse, things could have been very different in our lives. My call to plant a church in South Oklahoma City and God blessing that with staff and people and resources. My call to come to Christ Church after Dr. Pearson's retirement and God blessing that effort with people and staff and resources. Sometimes God's signs and wonders seem dramatic. At other times they seem less dramatic, but I tell you, they are just as real. I consider our relationship with Pastor Irina Mitina in Russia a 25-plus year ongoing sign and wonder, God's work among us. I consider every baptism, every new member, every growing disciple, every healthy relationship, every well-lived life as another sign and wonder of God's life-giving power at work among us. I like to ask the question, where have you seen God at work lately? Where have you seen God at work lately? And I believe that God is at work in the world today, and often we can see it. Now, rarely does God overpower us when he does signs and wonders. But he does build us up and he encourages our faith with everyday signs that point to his glory. So look for them. Rejoice in them. And share what you see and you hear with others. Remember this, God calls you to live boldly for Jesus Christ. And why? Because he is the Lord. And he is God's Christ. He's God's anointed one. God's Son who has come to save us, to deliver us, to redeem us, to help each of us live a transformed life. Is that some good news? Is that some good news, my friends? Let's pray about it. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious Master, loving Lord, we thank you for the transformed life that we find in Peter. We thank you for the boldness that he developed for you. He didn't have it automatically, but after being filled with your Holy Spirit, a whole new world of experiences and insights opened up for him. And so sharing the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection became the most important thing in his world. He developed a new boldness and a passion for you. Lord, we see his life and we say, we need that boldness. We need that fire and passion. There is power for whatever we face or for whatever we need when we place our faith and trust in Jesus and experience the gift of his Holy Spirit. So, Lord, give us that power. Give us that boldness. Give us that Spirit. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, Amen.